Parshas Bahar. Towards the end of the parasha, we have a very famous pasuk in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avodai heim. Klal Yisrael are mine, and they are my slaves, my servants, asher etzesi oisom me'eretz Mitzrayim. I took them out of the land of Egypt. This pasuk is quoted in a medrash. The medrash is to be found in Tehillim on the famous pasuk, Hallelu Avdei Hashem. Praise and thank the slaves of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those who are servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu should thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who are the first people to say those words? So the medrash tells us, fascinatingly, that on that epic night of Mitzrayim, the night of the Geula, Paro was running around, desperate, worried for his own life. He was, after all, a Bechor, and he was afraid that he would die as well. And eventually, Hoyodoyfek Paro al Pischein shel Moshe v'Aharon. Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen, Paro knocks on their door, and he tells them, or rather, begs them, please leave. Klal Yisrael should leave. To which they said to him, V'chshoita, they called him, you foolish one. Do you think we're going to leave in the middle of the night? Who roams around in the middle of the night? Ganovim, thieves. We're not thieves. Meanwhile, says Paro, but if you stay here any longer, then I'm afraid for my life. Leave, leave. So they said to him, we'll leave on one condition. You have to say the following words. You have to say, Atem b'nei chayrin. You are formally declared as free people. Ein atem avodai. You are no longer my servants. Elo avdei Hashem. From now on, you are the servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are the words that Moshe and Aaron instructed Paro to say. Well, he hardly has a choice. Hischil Paro v'tzovach. Paro began screaming with all his might, and he says, in the past you were my slaves, but now you are b'nei chayrin. You are avdei Hashem. V'tzrichim atem lahaloloi. And you therefore need to praise and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that in fact you are his slaves and not mine. Hallelu avdei Hashem. So those words in Tehillim, it's the very first perek of Hallel that we say, Hallelu avdei Hashem, were in fact first said by Paro. And the Medrash concludes, V'chein hu oimer, and so too it says, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim. That's the pasuk that we began with, the pasuk in our parasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Klal Yisrael are my servants. It's interesting to note that in Parshas Beshalach, when Paro is informed that Klal Yisrael have left, Vayehofech Levav Paro, and Paro's heart turns, and he says, what have we done? Ma'zois Osinu, why did we do this? Kishilachnu es Yisrael me'avdeinu. Why did we let them go? Why did we send Klal Yisrael out? And the question is asked, what do you mean we sent Klal Yisrael? You hardly sent them out. They were taken out by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does Paro mean when he says that we sent out Klal Yisrael? The Shem Shmuel discusses this. But Al Kolporim, according to the Medrash that we just quoted, it's very understandable. Because yes, he might not have liked it, but Paro in fact officially sent them out. He had to in fact say those words, you are now B'nai Chayrin. So Klal Yisrael were not taken out, as it were, against the wishes of Paro. Paro, admittedly with no choice, had to declare them formally free of his servitude, and from now on in, they are Avdei Hashem. The obvious question that must be asked, and is asked on this Medrash, is that once Paro told Moshe Rabbeinu to leave, why in fact was it necessary for him to make this whole declaration? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu insist that no, we will not leave Mitzrayim until you utter those important words, you are B'nai Chayrin? Paro had already released them. Paro had already said, get out, kumu tsu'u, leave. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen, why were they insistent that Paro says, no, I am formally declaring you as free? It's very interesting. The Mishnah LeMelech, in his famous Sefer Parashas Drachim, which is full of tremendous pilpulim, suggests that we know that when an Eved leaves his master, the Torah instructs the master to give him a ma'anak, a din ha'anoka, a whole bounty. If, however, the Eved escapes, then he's not zoicha to that ha'anoka. So the Mishnah LeMelech suggests that we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Avraham Avinu that Klal Yisrael are going to go into Mitzrayim, v'achareichein yetzei b'ruchush gadol. But afterwards they will leave with a tremendous amount of possession, says the Mishnah LeMelech. That possession, that ruchush gadol, is the ha'anoka. Is the ha'anoka. But if Klal Yisrael would escape, as mentioned, an Eved who escapes is not zeicher to that. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was insistent it's not good enough for Paro just to say leave. They have to formally be declared as free people. That way they can be zeicher to the Hanukkah. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz quotes this Mishnah LeMelech. He doesn't quite like it. But either way, this is a very important question that needs to be asked. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu insist? Why was it so important after 2 centuries and more of Avodas Porech and Golos, and finally Paro said leave? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu say that no, we will not leave until such point that you declare us B'nai Chayrin? So I'd like to share with you a Mahalach of Reb Chaim Briska. This is quoted by his son, the Briska Rav. In addition to asking the question that we just did, Reb Chaim Briska said that there's another question that we should ask. In the Haggadah Shel Pesach, which we all just recited on Pesach, we said that Klal Yisrael went me'avdus lecheirus, from servitude to freedom. And then it says, mishibud Ligula, from being subjugated to redemption. That sounds like a tautology. Isn't that the same thing? They went mi avdus lecheirus mi shibud legula. Why does the Baal Haggadah, who was a Tana, every word is meduyuk, why does he repeat himself? Similarly, we say elsewhere, mi Mitzrayim ga'altanu umi beis avodim perdisanu. We were both Ga'altonu, redeemed. Pedisonu sounds like also a redeemed from the Lashon of Pidyon. We seem to find a number of places that apparently there was a double aspect to the Geula. What are these 2 aspects? And finally he asks a fascinating historical question. We say in the Haggadah that had HaKadosh Baruch Hu not taken us out of Mitzrayim, we would still be meshubad lefaroi ula Mitzrayim. Historically, we know, Chazal tell us, that Sancheirev was mevalbel kol ha'olam kula, which means he captured basically the whole world and planted nations everywhere and anywhere. He took nations from one country and parked them somewhere else. The Rambam discusses this at length, therefore we don't really anymore know who is a Kenani, who is a Chitti, who is a Moiri, is all one big bilbul. So how can the Baal Haggadah say that had HaKadosh Baruch Hu not taken us out of Mitzrayim, we would still be there, left, languishing in Mitzrayim? That's not true. Sancheirev would have come and ejected us just like he did to every other nation. So how can we say that we would still be there? Those are the three questions that Reb Chaim Brisker asked. Number one, why did Moshe Rabbeinu insist that Paro says that you are Bnei Chayrin? Number two, what is this double Loshen? Mi'avdus l'cheirus, mi'shibud l'geula. And thirdly, how can we say we would still be stuck in Mitzrayim? After all, Sancheirev, centuries later, albeit, but eventually it happened, surely would have come, taken Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, and parked us elsewhere. So Reb Chaim Brisker says the following, a fundamental yesoid at the entire look at what happened at Geulas Mitzrayim. He doesn't quite say it in these words, but just to make it more understandable and palatable, perhaps it could be presented as follows. Imagine we were to go into the street now and drag somebody off the street, kicking and wailing, into our homes, and we would force him to sweep the floor. Is he an Eved? The answer is absolutely not. I never purchased him. I never did a Kinyan. I don't own him. He's not a resident in my home. So he might not be an Eved, but practically he is Oved. He's working for me. He has not been declared. He does not have the status of an Eved because I don't own him. But he is an Oved. And what would be the other way around? What happens if I have somebody who is in fact my worker, my in-house resident Eved? I say to him, you know, you've been such a loyal Eved, I'm giving you a day vacation. So off he goes to the beach, lying on his back in front of the sea, doing nothing. Is he an Eved? Absolutely yes. He is not Oved. At the moment, he's not practically carrying out any work because I've given him the day off. But his status has not changed. In other words, we need to differentiate between, when we talk about avdus, we need to differentiate between what the person is and what the person is doing. What he is dependent on his status. Is he an Eved or is he not? What he's doing, that depends practically what is he involved with. Says Reb Chaim Brisker, and this is his tremendous yesoid. Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim were not just oivdim, workers. It's not that we were just carrying out work, but we were in fact avodim. That was our status. We were there, residents of Mitzrayim. That was our status, not just what we were doing. It's true. We were involved with Avodas Porech, but in addition to that, we had the status of Avdei Paro. When we say in the Haggadah, Avodim Hoyinu Lefare B'Mitzrayim, how would you translate that? Avodim Hoyinu is not translated as we were working for Mitzrayim. That would have been Avadnu or Oivdim. Avodim Hayinu means not that we're describing what they did, but rather what they were. Avodim Hayinu, we were Avodim. That was our definition. That was our status. Says Reb Chaim Brisker, now we understand the pshat in the Medrash. It was not sufficient for Paro to throw Klal Yisrael out of the land, because that would have represented merely that they do not anymore need to work. Well, that's like giving my Eved the day off. I can give him a day off, I can give him a week off, I can give him 50 years off. He's still my Eved. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, we are absolutely insistent that does not suffice. You have to enunciate those words. You've got to say, you are Bnei Chayrin. Now there's a change in status. It's not just a change in what you're doing. It's a change in what you are. And that's what Paroi declared. Halelu Avdei Hashem Veloi Avdei Paroi. There's been a change in status. Not just a change in what you are doing, but you have become something different. Whereas you used to be the Avdei Paroi, that was your definition. From now on, you are Avdei Hashem. Halelu Avdei Hashem. Says Reb Chaim, that is the double lashon. When we talk about, on the one hand, me avdus lecheirus, but also me shibud legeula, we talk about gaaltonu and pedisonu. What is a pidyon? A pidyon is a redemption. If we've ever attended a pidyon haben, a pidyon haben is a change of status. He used to have kedusha, owned by the Kohen, he is no longer. That's not a change in what he's doing, that's a change in what he is. So that's what happened in Geulas Mitzrayim. It would be a very superficial look at Geulas Mitzrayim to merely consider it as we used to be working hard and we no longer are. That's not untrue, but that's missing the main point. The main point, there wasn't just a change in the Seder Hayoim, what were Klal Yisrael involved with, but rather there was a change in status. They went both me avdus lecheirus and also me shibud legeula. There was a pidyon, there was a redemption, there was a change in status. And that is the answer to the third question as well. Wouldn't Sancheirev have eventually come and taken Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim? He may well have done so, which would have mean that we no longer have to work for Paroi, but we would have remained Avdei Paroi because we were never formally declared as Bnei Chayrin. And that's what it means in the Haggadah. Had HaKadosh Baruch Hu not taken us out, then what would have happened? We would still be Meshubad. It doesn't say that we would be languishing Mitzrayim. We would be Meshubad Lefarei Mitzrayim. We would still be his Avodim. And therefore, says Reb Chaim, all three questions have been answered. The first question was, why was it necessary for Paroi, insisted Moshe Rabbeinu, that you have to say that you are Bnei Chayrin? Why was that so necessary? Says Reb Chaim Brisker, the reason why it was necessary is because otherwise they would have left the land. That's true. The work would have stopped, but their status would never have changed. Klal Yisrael could not have become Avdei Hashem. They would forever have remained Avdei Paroi. Second question, this double lashon. This is indeed a double lashon, because in fact there are two aspects to the Geula, not just changing what they were doing, that they no longer had to work, but more importantly, they now became Avdei Hashem. And thirdly, what would have happened had Sancheirev taken them out? They wouldn't have had to work for Mitzrayim, but they nonetheless would have remained Avdei Paroi. The Brisker of, after quoting this magnificent chiddush of his father Reb Chaim Brisker, says that's what we say whenever we bench in Birkas Hamozin. We say Va'al shehoytzei sonu Hashem Elokeinu me'eretz Mitzrayim upetisonu mi'beis avodim. There's the hoytzei sonu and there is the pedisonu. Those are the two aspects of the Geula. Hoytzei sonu means literally, we were taken out, so we no longer have to work for Paroi. But more importantly, there was a pedisonu. There was a pedisonu, there was a pidyon, there was a change in status. Tonight, Mitz Hashem, when we daven Maariv, and we say those very important words, Vayoytzi Amo Yisrael Mitoichom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out, Lecheirus Oilom, freedom forever. And the big question, the obvious question, freedom forever? We're in the middle of a war. We're at the end of a very long golos. What does that mean, freedom forever? And the answer is because Klal Yisrael remain forever Avdei Hashem. That can never change. It's true. We can be persecuted and tortured and subjected to all type of anti-Semitism v'chulei. But that doesn't change our status. We forever remain B'nei Chayrin. We are for always the Avdei Hashem. Chayrus Oilom. Chayrus Oilom. When Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, as we know, they were instructed with two mitzvahs. What were those two mitzvahs? The mitzvah of Korban Pesach and the mitzvah of Bris Milah. The Maharal in Parshas Bo explains the significance of these two mitzvahs, and we see how magnificently it ties in with everything we have quoted in the name of Reb Chaim Brisker. Korban Pesach is called Avoido. Moho Avoido Hazois Lochem. It's all about doing, actions, performance. And what is Bris Milah? It's not about an action. It's the symbol of status. You have that sign on your guf. This is what I am. And says the Maharal, the Pesach Luchud, had they only been instructed in the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, loisagi, that wouldn't have sufficed. Liyos oivdim lahakadosh baruch hu, because we also need to become an eved lahakadosh baruch hu. An eved is reflected by that chosem, the chosem of avdus. And that, of course, is the absolute parallel of what Reb Chaim Brisker is teaching us. There was a double aspect to the Geula. We changed what we were doing, but moreover, and more importantly, we changed what we were. That change in what we were doing, we used to work for Paroi, and we now, as it were, work, perform for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's reflected in the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash of Korban Pesach. But the change in status, Hallelu Avdei Hashem v'loy Avdei Paroi, that is a different mitzvah. That's the mitzvah of Bris Milah, where there is a sign on the guf that declares not what we do, but what we are. We are Avdei Hashem. And that's the way that we understand how we are Zoicha to Chayrus Oilom. What does this all mean in very practical terms? In practical terms, as mentioned, it means that throughout our difficult history, throughout generations of persecution and torture, the fact that we are the nation of Chayrus Oilom, Avdei Hashem, can never change. Any amount of subjugation cannot change what we are. When we read and we hear, for example, in the most recent, perhaps, event of mass anti-Semitism, the Second World War, the Holocaust, and we read how Klal Yisrael, great members of Klal Yisrael, to even the most simple, quote-unquote, members of Klal Yisrael, managed to retain their dignity in the most difficult and trying times, what that means is, in two words, Chayrus Oilom. The Kleisenberger Rebbe, who was in Auschwitz, death camp, but he remained a Hasidic Rebbe, and he used to conduct a tish on Shabbos. Well, what type of tish? He didn't have a table or food to distribute to his Hasidim, but he remained a Rebbe. He conducted himself as a Rebbe. They could beat him up, they could torture him, they could persecute him as they did, but they cannot change what he is. The story is told of a Poshita Yid, if such a thing exists, whom the Nazis, Yimach Shemom, thought that they'd have a bit of fun with. So they forced him out of his house at gunpoint, dragged him to a shul, and forced him to open the Aron HaKodesh and take out a Sefer Torah. And much to the amusement of the guards, the Nazis, Yimach Shemom, he had no choice, that's what he did. And then they told him, now begin dancing with the Sefer Torah. So he began, he clutched tightly onto the Sefer Torah and danced with all his might. And then for the final course, in the merriment of the German guards, they said, now throw the Sefer Torah onto the floor. And he was not willing, or perhaps unable, to do so. And he left this world clutching a Sefer Torah. Yotzeso nishmosei be'echod. What does that mean? All of that is a direct result of the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu insisted that Paray says, you are free. You are no longer Avdei Paray. It's not just a question of whom are you working for. It's a question of what you are by definition. Such that thousands of years later, a simple Yid, who may not have been a big Talmud Chacham, but he's an Eved Hashem nonetheless. And nobody, not even a Nazi gun, can take that away from him. I read once about a group of Klal Yisrael who are being led literally to the gas chambers, their final moments on earth. And one of them made a calculation and all of a sudden remembered that that day was Simchas Torah. So he said, we cannot walk into the gas chambers, we have to dance into the gas chambers. Isn't that what a Yid does on Simchas Torah? So we can't dance in a shul and we can't dance with Sefer Torah, and there's no candies to give out, but we can dance with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, as indeed they did. That's Chayrus Olam. That's Avdei Hashem. And had Paroi merely driven Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim without declaring formally that you are B'nai Choyrin, then we would have indeed remained Avdei Paroi. And therefore that pasuk that we began with in this parasha, Ki li B'nai Yisrael Avodim, Avodai Heim, it doesn't say they're working for me, but this is what they are, declares HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They are my Avodim. That is the overall lesson of the Geula. Not just what we do, but what we are. We are Avdei Hashem. And any amount of persecution, any amount of trials and tribulations, at best, can change what we do, but it can never change what we are. Let me just quote one line of the Ramban. The Ramban in Parshas Boy also briefly quotes this story and says that when Paray told them to leave in the middle of the night, Moshe Rabbeinu said, we will not leave. Loi neitze elo biyad romo. The only way we're leaving is not as lowly slaves, but biyad romo, with a haughty hand, le'enei kol Mitzrayim, the pride of being a Jew. That's the way that we're going to leave Mitzrayim. I would like to quote in conclusion from a book that I have here at home. For those of you watching, I'll hold it up to the screen. It's a book called Sorry Story, written by a cousin of my grandmother, Olei HaSholem. Her name is Mrs. Sorry Krauss. An elderly woman, she is an old age home in Manchester. On a recent visit, I went in fact with my father, who's here listening to the shiur with us, I went to visit her and I said to her, your book that you wrote, she wrote a book about her memories of the Holocaust. She was in a death camp in Bergen-Belsen. And I said, you should know your book was a tremendous inspiration to me. A big chizuk. And I've quoted it in Shiurim. And I think that was a big chizuk to her. I just want to quote one or two lines because I think this encapsulates in the most real way everything we've talked about. She had the zechus, if that's the right word, to be there in Bergen-Belsen together with a Satmar Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And she writes, observing the Rebbe up close was like observing royalty. Even in that dark, damp, dreadful place, I found strength simply from the fleeting moments that I saw him. We had a prince in our midst. What does that mean, a prince in Bergen-Belsen? Not quite a palace. Doesn't matter. Avde Hashem. Chirus Olam. She describes Rosh Hashanah arrived. How are you going to daven in Bergen-Belsen on Rosh Hashanah? The men erected a curtain. They made a makeshift shul with a mechitza. They had one machzor which they somehow shared. Some of the tunes were familiar, others were not, but it didn't matter. All that mattered, she writes, was that we were hundreds of Yidden together in the hopeless dark hole called Bergen-Belsen, declaring our loyalty to the one above. Then Yom Kippur came. We davened the entire day, and most of the adults fasted. They forgot their hunger as they focused on their words. Their tefillahs were even more heartfelt than Rosh Hashanah. And she writes, Hashem, I thought to myself, must be deriving great pleasure from our heartfelt davening. I reflected with awe and with pride, even though we were still prisoners, but we felt like royal subjects who had just come from a rendezvous with our king. Our king loves us. That's what she felt in Bergen-Belsen. Our king loves us. And finally, she describes Simchas Torah. Was it possible to be joyous in the black and bleak Bergen-Belsen? We were terribly hungry, dressed in threadbare clothing, weak from malnutrition. Where would we find it within ourselves to be joyous on Simchas Torah? But then she says, I heard the singing and the dancing. The Satmar Rebbe, Hashem's trusted servant, was dancing with his Torah, and his joy was real and contagious. Even in Bergen-Belsen, she concludes, where we never knew if we would be allowed to live another day, we could still be joyous, because we were commanded to by our Father, our King. In a little footnote at the end of this chapter, she writes very movingly, many people after the Holocaust, as we know, those who survived had to face the difficult feeling of guilt. Why was I singled out for survival? And she writes, why indeed were we singled out for saving while so many others had perished? She talks about a Mrs. Sora Blau of Budapest, who was there incarcerated in Bergen-Belsen. And she observed a little young girl crying. Why are you crying, my child? She asked. And the little girl wiped away her tears and she said, because we're here for so long. What if we'll be here until Pesach? How will we be able to keep Pesach properly? That was the concern of a little girl in Bergen-Belsen. Many, many years later, this Mrs. Blau met up with that little girl, by then grown up. And they reminisced about their war experiences. And Mrs. Blau commented, perhaps we were saved in the merit of a little girl who cried because she was afraid that she would not be able to keep Pesach properly. And then the author writes, that little girl was me. That little girl was me. and as mentioned, she's a cousin of mine, and she was zeicha to marry and be boina bayis nemon and a mishpacha letiferes. But all of that is Reb Chaim Brisker's yesod. The fact that a little girl can have no other concern in Bergen-Belsen but how are we going to keep Pesach? The fact that the Satmar Rebbe could conduct himself as a prince in our midst, observing royalty, that's Chayrus Olam. And that was Moshe Rabbeinu's insistence that Paroi must declare the words. It's not enough just to drive them out the land, but you have to declare you are now Bnei Chayrin, you are from now on Avdei Hashem. And that's what we sing about in Hallel. And all of that is the profound meaning in the pasuk that we began with, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim avodai heim. That is not a reference to what Klal Yisrael do. It's a reference to what they are. We are Avdei Hashem. And we are tall and proud, b'yad romo, as the Ramban describes. Even in the most treacherous of conditions, in the most dark chapters of our history, but we forever remain Avdei Hashem. And for that we sing in Hallel, Hallelu Avdei Hashem, meaning V'loi Avdei Paroi.